The sermon for today comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 1. It's not printed in the bulletin, but I will read it for you now. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. The intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand miraculous signs, and Greeks look for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. A friend of mine posted a few paragraphs in his blog about why there is sin in the world. And within a day, he got back some very heated comments. I'd like to share a few of them with you today. I love it when people quote the Bible like they are reading from a math book, like it's fact. Too funny. Tell one of those people about a Native American creation story or what a Buddhist believes, and they will tell you how crazy that stuff is. The hypocrisy is so funny. Another person says, you say a magic fairy tale scripture about a fictional couple that was duped by a talking snake is supposed to mean what? Or another, world hunger, hundreds of thousands of murders around the world each year, genocide, etc. So you're saying God is in control of all these things? Wow, that guy's a jerk. And one more. Now you're telling me that Adam and Eve were real. Come on now, most people who believe in God realize that that story is a fairy tale. The snake came and talked to poor Eve into eating the fruit and screwed up everything for all mankind. No wonder women were considered second-class citizens for so long. They've just ruined everything for us. You're an idiot. Leave this country as soon as possible. You see, we're living in a world that will tell you are foolish for believing what you believe. They'll tell you nobody else thinks that way. You're an outcast. You're outside of everyone. But isn't the reality the exact opposite? Aren't they the foolish ones for not believing what God has told them so plainly? The message of the cross? The foolishness of the cross is our salvation. And it is also our proclamation. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. There are two groups of people in this world. And ever since the fall, there have always been these two groups. On the one hand, there are those who are perishing. And on the other, there are those who are being saved. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. This message of the cross is the message that Jesus, God's own Son, came down to earth, lived among people, and was crucified on a cross. And then 3 days later, he rose from the tomb. And this has paid for the punishment of our sin and given us salvation. That's foolishness. What have I really done that's so bad anyways? What have I done that I haven't made up for with good things? How is the death of some guy 2,000 years ago supposed to have anything to do with me? That's foolishness. People often get very defensive when they are criticized. They come up with excuses and grab for reasons They don't want to see the truth about what they really are. They don't look at themselves and see who they are. They think that by themselves they can achieve what they need to. They think by themselves they can restore a broken relationship with God. But to us who are being saved, the message of the cross, is the power of God. The second group of people looks at themselves and knows what they really are. They see that no matter how hard they try to do anything to right their wrongs, this feeling of sin and guilt still clings to them, and they can't shake it. They search for ways to restore this broken relationship with God, but they cannot find anything that's strong enough. They can't find anything that really takes care of their need, except for Jesus. And God has led them to understand the message of the cross. God has led them to understand that Jesus dying on the cross does take care of their real sin, their sinful nature, which is at their core. And God has shown them to understand that Jesus rising from the dead actually gives us the righteousness which Jesus won for us. This is the way it's always been. These two groups of people. There are ones who think that they aren't that bad, or that they can work and do enough to make up for the wrongs that they have done. And ever since Isaiah's time, it was prophesied, "I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. The intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate." This seems rather harsh at first, destroying wisdom and frustrating intelligence. But this is actually a very loving act of God's. You see, the wise person follows his wisdom down this path. He thinks he knows what he's doing. He's going to go down this path and do what he needs to. And the intelligent will find these reasonable arguments, try to prove that God really exists from science and from nature. But eventually, both of these paths lead to a dead end. And God sees that, so he cuts off these paths before they journey too long on them. He forces them to go back to the path that leads to him. The path, the only path that really leads anywhere. Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? If we picture our sinful state as being in the bottom of a deep pit after the fall, then we can think of the wise man down in the pit. "I know I'm down here and I need to get up." So he begins searching for handholds or looking for rocks and ledges that he can stand up on. Or the scholar who searches for tools he can use. Maybe something to get leverage or something to help him grab onto that rock face. Or the philosopher who thinks, "I can do it by my own strength and power. I can get up there." But he doesn't realize that he has two broken legs and a few cracked ribs from the fall. And any struggling he does to try to get up will only damage him more, will only hurt him more. And so there we are. Left at the bottom of this pit, helpless, unable to do anything to climb back out, until God shows himself, lets down his hand, and brings us up. "For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe." Jesus dying on the cross is true wisdom. Because Jesus lived a perfect life here on earth, something that no man was ever able to do, and Jesus was able to take the punishment on himself, the punishment for sin. He was able to take the sins of the whole world on himself. And in his death, he paid for that punishment. That punishment no longer clings to us. And in his resurrection, He gave us the salvation, the righteousness which he lived on earth, he gave to us. This is true power that God came down to earth and was crucified. It's true power that he rose from the dead and proved that he has authority over death and Satan. And in his wisdom, he made this available to anybody of any age, of any IQ level, because it doesn't require anything from us. God saw that if we had to rely on ourselves for our salvation, none of us could attain it. So he took us completely out of the equation and sent his son instead. With the flawed part out of the equation, he has won salvation for us. And he gives this to us as a free gift. Something that anybody can believe. Something that anybody can have. This is true wisdom because it doesn't depend on our own wisdom or strength. The world will think the message of the cross is foolish, but it is our salvation. And God wants, and in his wisdom, God made this message available to anyone. And he wants the word to get out. So the foolishness of the cross is also our proclamation. Jews demand miraculous signs, and Greeks look for wisdom. When people come to church or engage in a religious discussion, they have a few expectations or even demands about what they want, what they need before they can believe. Some will look for some amazing power of God that will move their emotions to believe in him. Or they will look for the power of God here on earth to end world wars and to create peace, to end world hunger. They say, when I see this, then I will believe that there is a God. Others want to be reasoned. They want reasonable arguments to challenge their intelligence and to show them through proofs that they already know that God does indeed exist. But what does God give them? But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. Jesus, God's own Son, God himself, coming down to earth and dying on a cross. I don't see any power there. How could some guy save me if he couldn't even save himself from the hands of a few humans? Then he rose from the dead. And this is, gives me salvation. I don't see anything logical here. I don't see any reason. It doesn't even make sense. But this is the power of God. Excuse me. To those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. God has called people, all people. He has made this message available to anyone. He has shown his power in Christ's death and resurrection, that he has power over death and over sin, so that these things can no longer cling to us, so that we no longer have to fear punishment. God has shown his power, so that we no longer have to be afraid, and we can stand before him wearing the robe of righteousness which Jesus won for us. And he has made this available to everyone. In his great wisdom, he didn't let it depend on anything we have, but he gives it to us freely. He calls us to him and leads us to understand so that we may believe. For the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. If you still think the message of the cross is foolishness, then fine. But realize that it is still wiser than anything man has come up with. because it deals with the real problem of sin, which we so often fail to recognize. It is accessible to anybody. And it's true wisdom because this alone can save us. Not anything that we do, but Jesus alone. And if you think that God is weak for dying on a cross, then fine. But realize that it's stronger than anything man has ever done to save himself. By dying on the cross, Christ has truly won this salvation for us. He has proven victory over the devil and death. He's taken care of our real problem and made it available to us so that we can be saved. The world will come up with many excuses and reasons for things that they don't believe in the Bible. But so often it's just something to hide behind because it's what they actually do believe in the Bible that scares them. What they actually do believe about sin and eternal punishment. They don't want to believe it. And so this is our proclamation to tell them that Jesus has already taken care of everything. The message of the cross may sound like foolishness, but it's what God gives us to preach, because the problem isn't with the message. The message is the power of God for our salvation. Amen. And now may the power and the kingdom of our God be with you all. Please be seated for the offering.